Translation. C. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, you are different. There are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge." Purport by His Divine Grace, Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna, because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. From the Rig Veda we understand Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parashya Shakta Vivate Suryate Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Vishnu or Krishna is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10:8. Aham Savasya Pavavo Mata Sarvam Pravartite. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the Nirakara Nirvesha Brahma Jyoti. Although everything emanates from Krishna, he is ultimately a person, aham adyehi devasham, devanam. He is the original Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara, and from them many other demigods are manifested. Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtahan, Brahma rests upon me. The Lord also says, Yepi anyo devata bhakta yajanti shradhayanvita tepi mam eva kuntaya yajan advithi puruvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Bhagavad Gita 9:23. There are many persons who worship different demigods, considering all of them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Maham Vanso Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasthanindrani Prakriti Stani Kasati. The demigods are also in the category of living entities. They are not separate gods, but men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore, they are rebuked in Bhagavad Gita. Kamesta te Hrita Gyanam Prabhatyanti Nya Devataha. Because they are unintelligent and are not very advanced, they have not properly considered the truth. They take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies, such as the Mayavad philosophy. Krishna Vishnu is the actual origin of everything. As stated in the Vedas, yasya vasya sarvam idam vibhuti. The absolute truth is described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.15 as satyam jnanam anantam yad brahma jyoti sanatanam. The Brahma Jyoti is sanatan, eternal, yet it is dependent on Krishna, brahmano hi pratisthanam. The Brahma Samhita states that the Lord is all-pervading, anandarastai paramanam charanstam. He is within this universe and he is within the atom as paramatma. Yasya pravo pravati jagat anantikoti ashesha vasodadi vibhuti brinam. Brahma is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe is ultimately Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Sarvakalv edam brahma paramam brahman param dharma pavitam paramam bhavan. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact, he is the origin of everything. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, she could understand that the same Lord Vishnu has appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudev, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayan, Lord Ram, Shesh, Varaha, Nishinga, Vamana, Baladev, and millions of other similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are the original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of the material creation. Your forms were existing before the cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever-cognition and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he is different from everything." This is a Chinta-Beda-Beda-Tattva philosophy. Om Gyanatam Andashagan Anjana Shalakaya Chakshu Shumanitam Dina Tasmai Sigur Venamaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Sabitam Dina Bhutale Swar Rupagrama Yandaranti Swapadanakam Vanchikaba the Rubish Jag Gripa Sindhu Bia Pajabadi Tanam Havani Bhav Vaishnav Venamaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Purvani Dananda Sri Advaitikaradha Shivasati Gold Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. Before understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Gaugavinda Swami used to say, "You have to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before you understand the Bhagavatam. You have to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And he used to say, "Why is that?" So we'll pose the question, why is it that you need to have the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before you can understand the Bhagavatam?
Krishna Mahaprabhu
He's what? Embodiment of? Because he's the Supreme Lord and the Bhagavatam is speaking about the Lord, and that's one truth. Any other reason? He said, this is a fact, of course, because whatever the Guru says is a fact, cannot be a speculation. One has to understand the Bhagavatam. To understand the Bhagavatam, you have to require love. Because the Bhagavatam is not different than Krishna. If you want to understand Krishna, you have to have love for him. Bhakti mama vajavanti yavan yas tatsmita. By bhakti you can understand Krishna. So who is giving that love of Krishna? We cannot. It is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and very easily given in this day and age. Mahaprabhu is just distributing it everywhere, anywhere. It doesn't even matter if you have no qualification. Even if you are, if you practice Astanga Yoga, sometimes you get pious people, they practice Astanga Yoga. They're usually kind of reasonably elevated people. Or Gyan, you get some people who are into Gyan. They're intelligent, they try to work out what the world is around them. And then you get Karmis. Karmis are also elevated in the sense that they will be able to follow religious principles. That's a Karmi. A real Karmi is someone who follows religious principles. He's at least following Varnashram. Anyway, even if you follow your religion properly, what good is it if you do not acquire love of God? Yashasya's Bhakti Bhagavata Kinchana, the verse is there. What is the good if you do all your perfect duties wonderfully? At the end of the day, you don't acquire love of God. There's no purpose behind it. You've wasted your human form of life. Even if you become a great jnani, you might understand what is Brahman by your jnana. You might be able to separate yourself from matter and understand yourself to be spiritual. You might even be able to identify other people as spiritual as well. You will no longer look at people in material ways, think, oh, look at your education, look at your culture you come from, look at the wealth you have, or look at the, you won't look at people like that. You'll see people as spiritual beings. You will not make any judgment on them. That is the real Brahma Bhutas Pasanatma platform. See like that. This is real knowledge. Well, that's knowledge. That's knowledge of Brahman. Anyway, and then the Astanga Yogis, they do their meditation. They try to find God within themselves as the Paramatma. Anyway, even if all these people, if they practice their religion or their Gyan or their Astanga their whole life, if they do not complete the task at the point of death, if they don't complete their program, they haven't really achieved anything in that sense. They haven't really. What have they achieved? Maybe they'll go to their next life as better karmis, or they might, you know. But there'll be nothing, practically speaking, carrying on in their next life. A slight hint, maybe. But the point is, I was trying to make, even if you're not a very good kami, if you have no gyan or no astanga yoga practices, in other words, if you're very, very fallen and come from very low culture, as we do in the Western world, because actually, when you look at it, there's not many people in this Western world that do practice karma very well, and they hardly have any gyan, really. Some people might think they have gyan, but they don't actually have much gyan. And these so-called astanga yogis, they're just doing a show. They're not really understanding what the real purpose of astanga yoga is. So these guys are all, well, you know, they're trying their best. But now, so someone who doesn't do any of them things, which is the majority of the population, I think we can assume, right? If they practice bhakti, if they're given one little information about bhakti by hearing the holy name, by taking prasadam or getting a book or coming in contact with devotees, immediately that power, that bhakti, stays with them. Whatever advancement they make, that little bit of bhakti stays with them. Therefore, there's no loss. It's such a powerful process. And therefore, the Hare Krishna movement is going out distributing bhakti to people who are totally unqualified, but yet they receive that bhakti, and if they cultivate it nicely by the mercy of you devotees, immediately there's great benefit for them. And they advance in their spiritual lives. In their next, even if they don't complete the task, whatever they've done in bhakti will stay with them. Whereas if whatever they've done in karma, jnana, it doesn't really benefit them. So this is described by Rupa Goswami, the great potency of bhakti. So this bhakti is giving knowledge. This is required, because really all this, what we're speaking about here is knowledge. Devaki is saying here, she's speaking about the Lord and his, how he's manifesting himself. And Prabhupada says in the purport here that the Krishna, he is chastising, he rebukes. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna rebukes the people that worship demigods. So actually, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is really rebuking, isn't he? He's telling Arjuna immediately. Actually, he said, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, Krishna said to Arjuna, actually, you have no, you cannot do this bhakti process because you have no knowledge, because Krishna was, Arjuna was in the situation where he was placed into so-called illusion, right? So Krishna, he said, you cannot do this bhakti because you have some devotion, but therefore he recommended that in order to gain knowledge, that he took up the process of Mishra Karma, Karma Yoga. That he did his duty as a kshatriya. And as a kshatriya, if he works for Krishna and gives up the result of his work, by that process, Krishna said, you will gain jnana, you will gain knowledge. It's the same for us. We have very little knowledge, but if we do our duty by, it's like for instance, a grihastha, right? We have so many duties we have to perform, and they're very troublesome sometimes. Just as Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was told to immediately, you should kill your relatives and your teachers. But didn't it? That's what Krishna said. Immediately he said, this is what you have to do. And then Arjuna objected. We said, why are you objecting? These are just the outward bodies. Even if you kill them, they're going to get a new body. So what is the difficulty? I mean, could you imagine? This immediately, Krishna is speaking on knowledge. So this body is actually irrelevant. But Arjuna couldn't see like that. So he said, okay, you cannot see like that. So if you work in this way, you will, after a while, you'll begin to understand this knowledge. You'll be able to see it. Because this knowledge is not something you can understand academically. It's something that Krishna reveals to one by austerity, by detachment. This is how you gain knowledge. So if you are grihastha, for instance, you carry out all your duties, there'll be many troubles, but you cannot give it up. What will happen is you will find that you'll get happiness and distress when you do your duties, but you'll become oblivious to it. You'll do it because it's a duty. Why are you doing it? Because it is religion. It is your duty. You must do. Same when you do your devotional life. You go and distribute books and you're on the street or whatever you're doing. You're going to get so many troubles. But you're not interested in your happiness and distress. You're out there because your instructors have asked you to perform that service. So if we do this religion or duties properly, we actually gain knowledge, because knowledge means to be free from happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, heat, cold, isn't it? This is knowledge. So we will find that if we are affected by these things, we can practically think, we can say, oh, we are not in knowledge. We are not in knowledge. We are still affected by this material body. We're experiencing so much happiness and distress. Whereas Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he came to knowledge. He accepted Krishna's words and he carried them out with faith. And by doing that, he came to knowledge. So this understanding of Krishna's position, how he is Paramatma, how he is Brahman, how he is everything, this is understood through austerity and it is understood by approaching Sadguru. Tatvijnanam evavigajat. Right? So you should approach someone who has knowledge, and not only should you approach him, but you have to carry some firewood with you. You have to carry some firewood. You have to do some yajna sacrifice. So if you do like that, then you'll begin to see everything is in relation to Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who sees me, everything in me, I've never lost to him, he's never lost to me. Krishna says like that. So we have to have faith in this process. If we continue on with this process of Krishna consciousness, we will gain knowledge. We will actually become free from our bodies. We will see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And we'll be very happy situated in bliss. Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma. Nasochati Nakangshati Samaseveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Sisi Varagokananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sisi Gauritai Ki Jai. Now, it's a wonderful thing which is being promised by Krishna. He's taking us from one platform to higher, to higher, to higher. Ultimately, we say to the impersonalists and the Astanga yogis, okay, now you understand your spirit. Now, what is the nature of spirit? What is its real purpose? And then you gain further knowledge, begin to understand Krishna's position. Because Krishna is Brahman, because Krishna's become many. Isn't it? Krishna's become many. Ever expanding. Krishna's ever expanding. So it is said that we are in the Tathastra region. Krishna expands himself. We are in the Tathastra region. We can choose, oh, which way are we going to serve Krishna, or are we going to serve, or are we going to... Because the real crux of the matter is, if one wants knowledge, he has to stop trying to be an enjoyer. This is the real business. We should understand that very clearly. This is our main disease. We want to be an enjoyer. So even the Mayavadis, they want to be enjoyers. And the Kamis want to be enjoyers. And the Yogis want to be enjoyers. So this tendency for bhukti-mukti, to be enjoying the material energy or to artificially renounce it, is the two witches which are always hounding the devotee. And it's a fact. You can see, actually, this is the glory of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. If you analyze Prabhupada's life, he was in Vrindavan, in transcendental ecstasy, living in Radhadamada temple and other places. But he was not interested in his own transcendence, his own transcendental happiness. He wanted to give pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, he took up the task of much trouble, very much trouble, to come to the United States of America. Here's someone that was not interested in being an enjoyer. Otherwise, why would he go all the way to America and have all the trouble that he took on? Whereas other devotees who may not have that platform of being a great servant, they may have a tendency to take it easy. Isn't it? I'm like that, by the way. Actually, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, commented, but actually, this godbrother is a great soul, and he accepted it. He said, oh, you are ease lover. Well, such and such person, he is an ease lover. But Prabhupada was never like that, you can see. He was always working hard to try to spread Krishna consciousness because he wanted to give pleasure. He wasn't interested in being an enjoyer. This is a fantastic platform to be on, isn't it? I wish I could become like that. Do you'd like to become like that? Or you probably already are like that. You're always trying to give pleasure to others? You're always trying to put yourself out to give Krishna consciousness to others, isn't it? Isn't that what you're doing in your lives? I think you are. Otherwise, what are you doing in this temple? You're always looking to give pleasure to others. I know there's many devotees like that, actually. Who actually... Sorry? Well, I can't bless you. Actually, Jayadeva Prabhu, he's a good example. He's always going all over the country, putting himself out, helping other people in his Krishna consciousness. He is a good example, that's a fact. And his dear wife. They're always looking to try to give Krishna consciousness to others. So this is the way we will be able to gain knowledge. Not selfish activities. Think of our own liberation. Anyway, even if we think of our own liberation, that's something. That's something, at least. But further than that is to try to, you know, and if one comes to that platform, actually it is a very, very, very exalted platform, of course. Such an exalted platform and such a humble platform. Because even though that person may well be giving so much knowledge to others, he never thinks he's doing anything. In fact, he thinks he's not doing enough. He thinks his devotion is hopeless. That's how a Vaishnava thinks. One time there was one devotee who was making a comment. Oh, such and such personality, he says, to become a guru, you have to be Uttama Adhikari. Therefore, why is he saying such thing? He's a guru. He must think he's an Uttama Adhikari, otherwise why is he saying such things? Well, actually, that's not a fact. That was a misunderstanding. Because even if someone were to say such a thing, he himself, such a personality, would never think of himself. The Uttama thinks himself the most fallen, actually. This was exemplified by Srimati Radharani herself, because she is the greatest of all the servants of Krishna. She is so devoted to the Lord that is inconceivable how much her desire is to please Krishna. And this mood of Srimati Radharani is exemplified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to distribute such prema, such love. He himself wanted to understand, Krishna wanted to understand, what is it that Radharani is seeing in me? What is the glory of her love? What is the happiness that she feels when she sees me? Krishna was, because Krishna, what's that verse? Radha Krishna Panayavati Vakalini Shakti, no. Radha Krishna Panayavati Vakalini Shakti, no. Yeah, Radha Krishna Pranava Kridiya. Yeah, a couple of other people we put out there, Harva Dhamma Gatato. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the loving affairs of Radha Krishna. This is an exhibition. The Ladini Shakti is an exhibition of their loving affairs of Radha Krishna. So, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come because Krishna wanted to taste that mood of Srimati Radharani. He wanted to understand her mood and then he wanted to distribute. So, Radharani, Srimati Radharani was so exalted that some people say, well, Krishna left Vrindavan and he never returned, or he upset the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan because he had to go and do his duties. He went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. Just recently I was in Mathura, as it happens. If anyone gets sick in Vrindavan, next time you go, okay, here's a tip. There's a very good hospital. It's called the Nayanti Hospital. It's just opened in Mathura. If you have to go there, it's a very good hospital. You'll be taken care of nicely. They have you have your personal dietitian. And there's no onions, no garlics. She comes back, oh, what would you like today? Oh, yes, you're unhealthy, so therefore. And also the consultant, he'll come and say, oh, these are nice books you have about Krishna. This consultant came and he said to me, he said, yes, very nice, these books. But actually, if you really want to understand these books, you should understand Sanskrit. Because if you understand Sanskrit, you'll understand the mellows of these books a lot. And this is the consultant who's coming in and telling me these things. He's a doctor. This is the advantage of being in the holy Dham. The doctors, the nurses, they're all devotees. Anyway, I said to him, I said, yes, it's true. I said, well, actually, these books, they're full of bhakti, the essence. He said, yes, yes, you're quite right. That is the essence of everything. And he immediately, you know. Anyway, if you have to go there, the rooms overlook Krishna's birthplace. So you can be in hospital, look out the window, and you'll see Krishna's birthplace. Very nice place. I spent 6 days there. Not because I was sick. My father-in-law, he was sick. My wife's probably thinking, what the hell are you talking about this for? She's listening on the internet. But I thought it was relevant because I was... But actually, this is in the holy Dham, you'll see. So this Mathura, Krishna had to go to Mathura, and he had business to attend to. But when he was in Mathura, he used to go on the roof of his buildings, and he used to think deeply of the residents of Vrindavan and how much devotion, how much love they had for him. He used to hanker after that love. And ultimately he sent Uddhava, as we know, he sent a message to these residents because he could not return. He had duties to perform. So the exalted position of Krishna's devotee that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to understand, it is actually culminates in Srimati Radharani's mood, even in the Kurukshetra. When she met Krishna at Kurukshetra. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes the comment that the most exalted place is Kurukshetra. Because in Kurukshetra, Radha and Krishna were again united. And Radharani's mood was again, what's the word? It was bringing up heights of ecstasy because she was about to, she again saw Krishna. And she wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. So it didn't actually take place, but the expectation was there. Therefore, the height of ecstasy of union and separation were taking place. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, that is a very exalted that is a very exalted place, and he desired to reside there rather than even Radhakund. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I can never reside in Radhakund, he said. It is a very exalted position. He never wanted to reside there. But what he did, he said, but I want my Guru Maharaj, I want to build a house, and I want my Guru Maharaj to reside there. That's what he wanted. And he said, maybe I will take a floor underneath and serve him. This is the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Not that I am going to reside in Radhakund. He was showing the example how this exalted platform is not easily attainable. It's not that automatically these deeper understandings of Krishna will come in time. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he once told a story about a young girl who was going to give birth. She was a young girl, therefore she was not in knowledge of these things. So she said to her mother, when it comes to time of giving birth, could you wake me up? You see, because she's thinking, she doesn't understand. Naturally, when you give birth, you're going to experience all the labor pain. Don't worry, you won't need to be woken up. So, similarly, when you acquire love of God, it is a natural process. You won't need to artificially try to get there, you know, like a sahaja or whatever. It is a natural process. So like that. Anyway, going back to the original point I was trying to make about the mood of Srimati Radharani, even when at Kurukshetra, Krishna, after being away for some time, he met his great bhaktas on that battlefield of in Kurukshetra, and he began to. He wanted to touch the feet of Srimati Radharani and glorify her for her love that he is, that she had given him. Because that is natural. Krishna is very appreciative of his devotees. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wants to do that. Srimati Radharani immediately says, why are you doing this? Actually, you have no fault. You have no fault, she said. You are the supreme. You had duties for me. You had to go and do your duties. In fact, she said, I am at fault. I have no love for you, she said. If I actually had love for you, I would have left this world. So, this is the platform of extreme separation. Prabhupada quotes like that sometimes. If we think we have love for God and we have real separation from Krishna, the symptom will be that we won't even want to exist in this. That is the real platform So this knowledge, it's getting late, this knowledge, In practical terms, we can say that Chanaka Pandit, he gave an analogy. If someone is in knowledge, you remember, he said, you will see all. What did he say? Three things. You will see everyone. What did Chanaka Pandit say about knowledge? Like gold. Do you remember? Anyone know? Huh? I think everything else. If you saw gold on the street, it's someone else's property. It's not your property, and like that. And you'll see everyone as your mother. That's right. He said like that. You'll see all ladies as your mother, whereas the demoniac person, like Ravana, he sees everyone's wives as his wife. There's a difference. So, isn't it? There's a fact. The one who's in conditional love, he will lust after others' wives. This is the consciousness of the conditioned soul. Oh, you have such a nice wife. But actually, he wants to enjoy. That is the consciousness of the conditioned soul. But Chanaka Pandit said, man who has real knowledge, he sees everyone's wife as like his mother. He's no enjoying spirit is there. So, and ultimately, one considers himself as dasya, anudasan, das. He doesn't consider himself anything other than the servant, the servant, the servant. And ultimately, just to finish off, that is the ultimate platform of knowledge. That one, there's that one verse. No, what's that verse? You're a scholarly man. Dasa, dasa, dasa. No, Brahma. No, there's one verse. No, Brahman. I'm not a Brahman. I'm not a Kshatriya. I'm not a Vaishya. I'm not a Shudra. Yeah, like that. There's one verse like that. I'm not any member of the Varnashram. I'm not any of these things. I'm a dasa, a dasa, a dasa. I'm the servant of the servant, the servant of Krishna. So that is the real platform of knowledge. I'm going to finish in a second. So this Vrindavan mood, the Vrindavan proposal, if you like, is that the infinite Lord. Two points I'm going to finish off with, which I've looked at from other acharyas who've spoken on these topics. Faith. One thing about faith is that faith has, you can measure the infinite. The infinite can be measured by the finite, by his faith, isn't it? If you analyze your faith can take you to so many places. And it is the only way to measure the infinite. Krishna and all his energies, and Krishna in Vrindavan, and Krishna as the huge Mahavishnu form that lies across billions of universes. Now, by your faith, you'll be able to transport yourself to that plane and fully understand it. It's the only way to measure the infinite. You cannot do it any other way. You cannot do it through academic study. So this is an interesting point. So we should... that faith comes from hearing and associating with devotees' faith. But it isn't just blind faith. It is tangible. It is tangible. You can experience something spiritual. And as your faith increases, your knowledge of these matters will increase. Now, the reason one requires faith is because this material world is meant for people who forget Krishna. That's what it's here for. This is a place where you come to forget Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is not so obvious to you. And Krishna does not want to disturb the separate enjoying spirit of the living entities. Therefore, he keeps himself covered. And the way to understand Krishna, the method is through faith. And the more faith you have, the more Krishna reveals. And therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who's got faith, for the faithless, for the doubting soul, there's neither happiness in this life nor next. So we should have faith in the sadhus, shastra, and guru. We don't want to have faith in some foolish scientists. I know this gentleman's a scientist. He doesn't like me chastising scientists, but not like he pointed out before, this Prabhu. Not all scientists are like that. I was doing door-to-door recently. We sold a Bhagavad Gita to a chemist. He was a PhD chemist. He immediately accepted this book. He said, yes, yes, this is very good. And I find that the atheistic scientists, they immediately accept Darwin, just like that. And they argue like anything. But any real scientist, he will not accept Darwin out and out like that. He actually... So his faith, the faith of the foolish scientist who is not open but is simply accepting some speculation, that's up to him, but he's limiting himself. Where our faith is going to take us into the higher planes of existence. And in this Vrindavan proposal, Krishna, he is manifesting himself in these leelas. That's why he's come to this world. And his intention is that the infinite becomes very close to the finite. So close that the residents of Vrindavan, the lovers of Krishna, they don't even recognize him to be the infinite. So this is the platform that Krishna is going to take us to. If we have that faith, the infinite Supreme Lord will come very close to us. And actually another point, you know, you heard of the yin-yang, right? Male, female, these energies, right? The impersonalists, they want to make the positive negative. They want to combine it and cancel it out, make it zero, make it one. This is foolishness. You know, if you're a scientist, anyone study physics here? You know that thing, like poles repel, unlike poles attract. You know that? Remember at school? They used to chant that mantra. If you analyze that, like poles repel, unlike poles attract. So I was thinking about this point. If you want to compete with Krishna and become the master, you're like a like pole, because Krishna's the supreme enjoyer. If you want to be the enjoyer, the two enjoyers, and you get repelled by Krishna. Actually, you get repelled by Srimati Radharani, because Vrindavan is a place which she controls. If you want to go to Vrindavan, you cannot be a like pole, you have to be an unlike pole. Unlike pole means you have to become the servant and Krishna is the master. You have to give pleasure. Otherwise, you try to put two magnets together like that, it will not work. You need to be, if you put the unlike poles together, immediately they stick like anything. So this is, we have to become the servant of Krishna. And then, at that point, we will never be able to leave Krishna. We will become stuck to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, back home, back to Godhead. Once you go back home, back to Godhead, you'll never come to the material world again. Okay, well, thank you very much for hearing out something that I tried to speak on this topic. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, questions?